Genesis chapter 17. If we get to Genesis chapter 17, we find that Abram was getting old. He was not as young as he had been. By this time, he's getting quite old. And we see there in verse number 1, and when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared unto appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and I will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. So this time in his life, he's 99 years old. And we look at that and say, it's pretty old. And it was pretty old in those days too. And God had promised him, we remember earlier in his life, God had promised him, you're going to have a son. And he didn't have the son that God had promised him right away, and it began to worry him and concern him. And as we look through the Bible, it's very interesting to see the different names of God and what they mean. And in this verse here is one of the names of God that stands out as a significant name of God. And we're going to look at that this evening. But some of the other names we find is the name Elyon. We find that way back in the beginning of the Bible. Elyon is a plural name for God. That's significant. El Elyon is a name of God that means the Most High. El Roy is a name that means God who sees. Jehovah is the I Am, the self-existent one. And Adonai is Lord. And these are just a few of the many, many names of God. But tonight, the name we're seeing there is, it says that I am Almighty God. That is the Hebrew word El Shaddai. Actually, two words. El Shaddai. And so we're going to look at that tonight. And just examining El Shaddai ought to encourage and increase our faith. There's some really neat information here about these two names of, or this compound name of God, El Shaddai. And so notice first of all the word El. Right? We don't see it in our English, but if you look at the English, it says Almighty God. The El would be God, and the Almighty would be Shaddai. All right, so if you're looking at it from that perspective. But God Almighty or Almighty God, El. El is the name of God that describes his title as being, meaning strength, majesty, or power. Strength, majesty, or power. El. The mighty God. Now, it wasn't just our God that is called El. The pagan gods were also called El. But in relation to our Lord, he's sometimes called El, or usually, or often in compound sentences like this, by El Shaddai. So he is our God. He is our El, the strong, majestic, powerful one. Now, as we look at the significance of this in this context, this is the first time that God mentions his title as El Shaddai, and he mentions it to Abram when Abraham's 99 years old. And God had already promised him, you're going to have a son. Didn't happen. And now Abram's thinking, no way in the world this is going to happen now. I'm too old. My wife's too old. This is impossible. And so he's sure that it's not going to happen. But we see the sad story of, in chapter 16, of how God had promised him the son, and they had waited and waited, and Sarah's getting impatient with God. And Sarah said, you know, we'll have to help God out here. And so in chapter 16, verse number 1, and Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she said to her, she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said to Abram, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go into my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. Now, it's hard for us in our culture to comprehend how a loving wife would say such a thing. But she wanted a son. And she's getting old. She's not getting a son. And in their culture, it was permissible, and especially among the pagans, to take a secondary wife or a maid as a wife. and bear children by them. Remember, that's what Jacob did years later, where Jacob, he married, well, he thought he was marrying Rachel, and he ends up marrying Leah. And then he marries Rachel at the same time, and so Rachel and Leah are in competition, and he has to work another 7 years. But he didn't have to wait another 7 years to get Rachel. He got them both at the same time. He just had to work another 7 years for the one he really wanted. And then after they couldn't have children, they started saying, well, you take my handmaid and you have children by her. And the other one said, you take my handmaid. So he ends up with four wives and 12 kids. And the Lord, it wasn't God's plan to do that, but that's what was common in their day. And Abram and Sarai were facing the same situation. And so she talks him into marrying her handmaid, and he has a son, and Ishmael's born. And Abram thinks, yes, this is God's answer. I got my son. And so he's all excited, and for 13 years, he's all excited about this son that he has, and he's training him up and rearing him up, and this is going to be my son. And he's got all these plans, and he keeps praying to God, God bless my son. And God says, all right, I will bless your son, but you know, the consequences have not been all that great. Right? So he got what he wanted, but they didn't do things God's way. And so it's a sad struggle there. But God, the El Shaddai, had not forgotten Abram. And even though Abram had made a mess of things and got ahead of God and stepped out of God's will, God was still ready to pick Abram up and forgive him. And that's a blessing. And we see that. That is a wonderful thing about our God, is he is willing to forgive when we mess things up. Not only did he forgive him, but he offered him another chance and helped him to live with the scars that he had left behind from his mistake. God was good to him and helped him through this. Now we note the significance of the name in our text. Abraham, that what we just looked at was the previous situation that laid the scenario. Now 13 years have passed, and we get to chapter 17, and God comes to Abram again. He's 99 years old now, and he says, I am El Shaddai. I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be thou perfect, and I will make my covenant between me and thee, and I will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him. So here's the situation. He now he's got the son that he asked for, that he thought was the one God promised. And God says, nope, that's not the one I promised. I'll give you a son, the one that I want for you. And he had stepped out of line, but God had other things in mind. Now, it says here that he was old. You get to the New Testament, the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 12. It's interesting how Paul records for us in Hebrews this situation. He says, therefore, sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. He says, he didn't just say he was old, he says he's as good as dead. Yeah, that's what a compliment, you know. Well, you look like you're as good as dead today. But that's what he said about him. So he was an old man, and all this time had passed. He was past childbearing age, and so was Sarai. And she's to the point, you know, she's gone through the stages of life, and humanly speaking, there's no way she's going to have a child. Not a chance. Absolutely, humanly impossible. And God was waiting for that time because he wanted to show himself as the El Shaddai, the God Almighty. And so he's waiting for this opportunity to show his might, to show that he was the strong and powerful God, the El. And God is unlimited in his power. Job mentions this in Job 42:1 when he says, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. And we know also that there's nothing too hard for God. Jeremiah 17:9 and also, or 32:17, sorry, Jeremiah 32:17, and also in Genesis 18:14, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. God had just promised, He's promising this again in chapter 18. We're in chapter 17. So God says, there's nothing too hard for me. I am without limit. I am the El Shaddai. God has no limitations. And then we see over in Matthew chapter 19, verse 26, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Remember, the disciples were talking to Jesus, and Jesus said, it's easier for a rich man to easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to come into eternal life. And the disciples went, whoa, then who can be saved? And Jesus said, it's impossible with man, but all things are possible with God. And it's a good thing for us to remember, God is able to do the impossible. And in Luke chapter 1, the angel was speaking with Mary and said, you're going to have a child. And Mary goes, how is that going to be? I don't know a man. And what did God say? The angel said, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Nothing shall be impossible. In 1 Corinthians 1:25, once again, we read, because the foolishness of man, the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. So we're reminded in all these verses that our God is a great God. He is the El. He is the strong one, the mighty one. And if we're facing an obstacle that seems impossible, we need to remember that nothing is impossible with God. We often sing that little song, God can do anything but fail. It's a good song. It's got a lot of truth there. God can do anything. But that brings us to the other part of the word, El Shaddai. Shaddai is the almighty part of the word. And scholars differ as to their meaning of Shaddai. There's various ideas of what it means, but it's all kind of similar. Some claim that it is a form of the Hebrew word Shaddah, meaning powerful. Others think it comes from Sadu, which means mountain. Yet others believe it to originate with Shaddah, which refers to a woman's breast. While any of these may be correct, the last seems most likely in the context. And it because you read there in Genesis 1:17 again, God says, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. And he's emphasizing his ability and his care. And the Shaddai is the breasted one who, like a mother, provides for his children. He is providing and meeting the needs. He's caring for Abram. He told Abram, I'm going to care for you. I'm going to meet your need. I'm going to provide a son. I'm going to give you a heritage among many children, as far as, you know, more than the stars of the sky, more than the sand of the sea, I'm going to provide. And so there was God's promise there to him. Now, he is the sufficient one, the provider, the sustainer, the giver of life, the one who makes fruitful. And God was telling Abraham, I am the strong one who is all sufficient. I'm the strong one. And I am the giver of life. And I am the God who provides. All of this seems to be summed up in the idea of Shaddai. Now, this is the first time that the name is used in the Bible. And in context, God is promising Abraham that he would multiply him many children and great nation. Genesis 28 and verse 3. Shaddai is used in a similar way by Isaac when he's speaking to Jacob. And God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people. Isaac didn't want to give that blessing to Jacob. Got tricked into it. I often wonder when I read that story there in Genesis 28 and the context of that. I wonder how God would have stepped in if Rebekah had not connived with Jacob to deceive his father. God already said that Jacob was going to get the blessing, but Isaac was determined to give it to Esau. God would have stepped in somehow. I wish I knew how, but we don't know because it never happened because of all the conniving. But nonetheless, God was in control. Genesis chapter 35, verse 11, God uses the name Shaddai when speaking to Jacob. Remember, Jacob was gone up north to find a family, find a wife and family. And God, it says here, and God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. So God's promising his blessing upon Jacob, using the same term, I am El Shaddai. El Shaddai, the powerful God who will make you fruitful. And so this is the promise that he gave to Abraham. I am the powerful God that will make you fruitful. And he said the same thing to Jacob, Isaac said it to Jacob, and God said it to Jacob as well. Now, God wanted Abraham to recognize his character, and Abraham needed to see that God was unlimited in his sufficiency. God was able to do everything. And though Sarah was barren, and they were both too old, God said, I'm going to wait until you're too old to give you a son. And then you'll know that I am El Shaddai. I am able to provide, and I care for you. And Abram needed to trust God and his unchanging promise. And that's a good reminder to us. God has given us so many promises in the Scripture that really do apply to us. And yet, all too often, we question. We wonder if God's really going to meet that need. Whether he's really going to do that. Our God is able to do anything. He is not limited except by our unbelief. And so we needed to put our faith and trust in him. God gave Abram and Sarai a token or a sign here of this promise. Look down at verse number 5, and it says, neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. All right, so Abraham. The word Abraham means that very thing, a father of many nations. And he said the same thing of Sarai in verse number 15. Right down in verse number 15, it says, and God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be the mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. All right, so Sarai means a head woman. Sarah means a queen. God said, I'm going to make her a queen. She's going to have multitudes of children come from her. And so God, again, promised Abraham these things. Now, we too need El Shaddai. We need the God Almighty. And every one of us needs El Shaddai to do things for us that are humanly impossible. And we can be grateful, and I'm sure all of us tonight here are grateful for the very fact that the first thing that he did for us that it makes a big difference in our lives is he gave us salvation. I mean, he could take and save a sinner like us and give us eternal life. And the El Shaddai is capable of giving new life, as only he can do. Can't get it any other way. We're not going to earn it. We're not going to, you know, get it by any other means. It comes from God. And El Shaddai can cleanse our sin and make us a child of God if we'll trust him. So that's a blessing. But then also, we need him for spiritual victory. You know, he gives us strength to overcome temptations. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10. That verse in that section dealing with the spiritual armor. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10. Let's just read that for us. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Ephesians 6:10. And so he is the one who gives us the strength to be to overcome temptation and the devil's trials. And then also he cleanses us when we confess our sin. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we need the El Shaddai. Those are things, there's not one of us here tonight that can do either of those things. We cannot cleanse our sins, and we cannot get victory over temptation by ourselves. We need God's help. And so these are things that the El Shaddai does for us. The God Almighty that provides things that we can't provide. He is providing. Just as he provided a son for Abraham and Sarah, he provides victory over temptation, and he provides cleansing and forgiveness when we mess up. We also need him in our struggles. You know, he alone can heal the deep needs of our hearts, help us carry our burdens, and to strengthen us during trials. We need God's help. I can't do that. I mean, we try to help other people. We can be a comfort. We can be an encouragement to someone. But we really can't help them. We can't solve their problem. We can't resolve things. It's only God that can do that. So we need God's healing and help. And he also will help us to carry our burdens. 1 Peter 5:7. Remember that verse? Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. He cares for us. That's our God, the El Shaddai, the one who cares for us and is almighty and able to meet those needs. And so, as we think about this tonight, we need to be trusting our El Shaddai. Trust him for victory over temptations and sin. Trust him to keep us clean. When we ask his forgiveness, we need to believe that he will. You know, I don't know if you've ever struggled with that, but there's been times that I've wondered. You know, you confess something and the guilt doesn't go away, and so you think, well, maybe God didn't really forgive me. Well, he said he will. We need to trust him. He's the El Shaddai. He is able to do that. And then he's there to carry our burdens, to give us comfort, to encourage us, to nourish us, to help us. Remember, if Shaddai really means, as we assume it does, that it refers to the breasted one, the one who cares for, like a mother caring for her children and nourishing them and strengthening them and showing them tender care and love, and being able to do for them what they can't do for themselves. God is that El Shaddai, the one who can do things for us that we can't do ourselves. And so we need to trust him and depend upon him. During our times of burdens and cares, we need to just look to the Lord and depend upon him. Nothing is impossible with God. And you know, each of us could think of some things, problems, burdens, heartaches, families, issues. We think, oh, it's impossible. It's just not going to work. Well, humanly speaking, it won't. But God is able. God is able. So we need to just continue to pray, continue to trust, continue to depend. Even with regard to our church, you know, that God would provide a pastor. You know, sometimes it looks bleak. But God is able. He cares. And we need to trust him and just say, God, I've got to trust you to meet that need. And so I encourage you tonight, think about the El Shaddai. And it's not just found here in this one passage in Genesis 17. It's found many times throughout the Bible, this phrase, El Shaddai, the God Almighty, the powerful God that cares about us.